We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Well, how about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Everybody, welcome to the 100 Sanford Podcast. I am your co-host, Lamar Lovelace, and I am here with Mr. George Foster. Foss, what's going on?
Man, y'all know what the deal is. I woke up. I'm alive. Everybody I love alive. That was alive yesterday. They alive. They're doing good. And guess what else happened?
The dogs won.
Them dogs won. Them dogs won. And I don't care what nobody say. They won. That's, man, that's the name of the game. Win the game, dog.
That's it. That's a good way to start off this Thanksgiving episode, man. You know, you're thankful that people are alive around you. We're recording this earlier this week because it is Thanksgiving week. Like George said, the dogs won. I'm excited. I'm thankful. 11-0. Not like some other teams out there. You know, I don't care what anybody talks about, struggles or anything else, but at least we 11-0. We could talk about it.
Yeah, it don't matter. Hey, the name of the game is win the game.
That's it.
That's all you got to win the game. Away game. Everybody going to get our give us their best shot. And sometimes we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot. But as long as we come out of your stadium with the W, you know, I can handle the rest.
That's it. Man, you got all these people talking about they want to blow people out. Now, mind you, look, it reduces your anxiety, right? When you're watching the game, you're like, man, you know what I mean? It's like 27-0, 38-0, whatever it may be. But at no point do I ever feel like the dogs ain't going to come out with a victory at any point.
That's the point. That's what I'm saying. It never feels like we're in dire straits. It never feels like we're not in control. No matter what the score is, the score can be like when we went down 3-0 to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
We're in control. You know what I mean? From behind. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're in control because there's so much faith in that defense that, you know, nobody's going to score on us, you know, at least not score too much. So we'll be fine. You know what I mean? There was never a doubt in that Kentucky game. No matter what it looked like, there was never, when I say never, never a doubt.
Never a doubt.
You know what I mean? My frustrations came from the stuff that we did to hurt ourselves. Like, if you can't get a yard, you know, something wrong. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody should be able to get a yard, no matter what.
On multiple shots, there was multiple times they couldn't get a yard. Now that's the only thing that made me mad. You know, you looking at the game and you're like, "Come on, fellas, we can get a yard on this team."
We got all that beef up front. We should be able to blow people off the ball, and we got big backs that should be able to see and put it where it's supposed to go and get the yard and get it in the end zone. So, you know, that's really the only thing that bothered me. Other than that, man, I am not worried about no Kentucky. not before the game, not during the game.
Man, look, if my little 7-year-old can look at me and say, "Dad, you know we gonna win this game," I don't know why grown men and women are sitting there worried about if the dogs going to win. He's 7. He can figure that out. He like, "Look, I know we better." My man went around throwing footballs to himself and came back. Was like, "We winning, you know, we blowing them out yet?" I'm like, "Nah, but, you know, it's all good, man." I think the dogs went down there. It was a little bit cold. They were at Kroger Field, went shopping. You know, Kirby picked up about, you know, 75, 80 turkeys at Kroger's. You know, everybody was just chilling, trying to get back to Georgia Tech.
Listen, healthy. Man, We, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of these last couple weeks been spent getting ready for LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I agree.
Yeah. You can't overlook anyone. But at this point, the level that Kentucky's been playing at hasn't been very great. You know what I mean? You got Tech coming up. They should just simulate that game. Even though Tech's playing hard, They're playing hard for Brent Key. They just beat a ranked North Carolina. You know what I mean? And then they beat them. Then they beat North. Who did they play?
Yeah, 21-7. Yeah, 21-17. They came back and beat North Carolina. North Carolina was up 17-0. But yeah, big time win for them. Brent Key got them playing well.
Got them playing good ball. You know what I mean? Does that mean they're, you know, any type of opponent from Georgia? No, but you know they're playing good ball. So, but I don't. I got a feeling that that staff has been working on LSU overtime.
Oh, most definitely. Well, I mean, because if you look at Kirby, what he said, even going back to the Tennessee game, you know, he was saying, "Look, we work on guys 2 to 3 weeks in advance." Now Tennessee was on the roster. I mean, on the schedule. So you can only assume that once LSU was pinned in as the SEC champion of the West, that they went to work. You know what I mean? Putting in certain things. I think they dialed down the offense over in Kentucky. I think they didn't want to show a lot of things that maybe LSU could use. I think there was a lot of things that played into that. And I think it's going to be the same type of thing this week against Georgia Tech, where they can't use but so much. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they got to start – planning and game planning. I mean, heck, you can attest to that more than anybody. Did you guys ever start game planning for other teams well in advance, 2-3 weeks in advance?
I think as a player, I don't know if you ever really
realize it
because everything is scripted, but the coaches know what they're doing. They're putting certain things. Sometimes they'll let you know, hey, this is for, you know, Kentucky or – This is for, you know, South Carolina or whatever, you know, just with teams that give you different looks and whatnot, you might throw some wrinkles in practice to work on, you know, but the coaches, they know, they script all that stuff in and they mark it, you know, they got film on it and then they go from there. So yeah, you definitely get ready in advance.
It looked like that across college football, though, man. There was a lot of games this past weekend that were tight. Some teams had lost. Some teams had went to the brink. You had Ohio State that was playing in a tight game. Heck, we saw what happened to that fraud Tennessee. They got mangled. They went up there and got choked out up there in South Carolina. So I think there was a lot of teams doing that. Yeah, you did call it.
you know, it's a lot of people. I can't say I said it with my chest, but I mentioned something about it on Twitter, and because I really felt that way. I was just looking at the matchups over the weekend, and I was like, I wonder if South Carolina can give, you know, Tennessee some trouble. I was thinking, am I thinking crazy? But what it was for me was that to me, you know, the blueprint was out there how to beat Tennessee. I think Georgia put it out there. The thing is, you have to have the athletes to do it. You know what I mean? You have to have the athletes to do it and to give yourself a chance. And typically, South Carolina usually, you know, has some players. They're definitely on defense. They usually have some players. They got with some, it depends on if you like Ringo, if you like, what's his name? Cam. What is his name? He's the top,
South Carolina.
He's rated the top corner by some people. So between him and Ringo, and you know, when you got some DBs, you could play some sound football. You can give Tennessee some trouble, especially with that defense they have, and we saw what happened. And you know, I was mad. People kind of made me pull back on what I was saying. And I was like, because they made me start thinking I was tripping.
No, I'm gonna tell you what happened. You didn't let your nuts drop.
I did let it drop. Like that's who it was. I forget his name. Cam Smith, maybe. I think his name might be Smith. But yeah, he said let your nuts drop.
Yeah, they let them drop. I mean, I ain't gonna get too graphic on this show, but yeah, they went out there and handled their business. And you know what the thing is? I thought that you really were gonna bring it up was that Tennessee had problems at Sanford Stadium with that crowd. And yeah, I thought that's the other thing that you're going to bring up.
That's definitely a thing. I said something about that online when somebody asked me. It was like, what did you see? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I said, for one, the blueprint was out there. Two, I thought, you know, South Carolina had the athletes to, you know, make it interesting. And three, I said, South Carolina at night in that stadium, absurd, bonkers. I've been there. They've definitely made me walk up out of there. I think I told you about that before. When they put that thing on us, we clowned them, and that stadium was raucous. And you know what I'm saying? I knew it was gonna be like that for Tennessee. I didn't know they was gonna put up 60 some points though.
See, I think that was the last thing that people thought about. I mean, the defense, I could see Cam Smith is the corner you're talking about. The crowd, but what most people did not think about was Spencer Rattler. Now, mind you, he comes from, you know, Oklahoma. He comes with that five-star backing. He was the top quarterback in his class. Nobody saw the offensive output that South Carolina was going to – dude, they punted one time. There, and in every possession they scored a touchdown on, which was even more bananas. They ain't done that. I mean, they've never had that type of production, so –
I wonder if it was the Rattler coming out party. He's not a senior, is he?
He is a redshirt junior.
Yeah, so it could be his coming out party. You never know, man.
Yeah.
You know, he might have needed that to boost his confidence. He obviously had the the talent coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Was supposed to be the man at Oklahoma, didn't work out. But when you have some tools and traits, you know, you don't tend to lose those. You know, you just, you know, have to get in the right situation. Just have to keep working at it and see what happens.
Yeah, I think he was just humbled a little bit at Oklahoma. I think he lost his confidence, went to South Carolina, which I thought was an odd choice. You know, he wanted to be the man, obviously, but you got to have the horses around you and you got to have a bona fide offense around you. And I guess things maybe just came into play, you know, that everything just kind of came together. They got a nice little squad. They can do some things up there in South Carolina whenever they have everything moving in the right direction. My hope for him is that he stays, that he doesn't try to come out too early, allow himself to grow. It's okay to you know, continue another year in college football, earn that NIL money, continue to grow as a player, and hopefully, you know, he lives up to the hype that he came in with as a high school player. But interesting game, man. That was an interesting week. But we got a big week this week. Obviously, a lot. It's rivalry week, right? You got Michigan, Ohio State. You got UCLA, and you know certain. You got all kind of big time games out there, and obviously we got the big one up in Athens. We got Georgia Tech. It's going to be a big one. It always is a big one. It's a rivalry game, clean old fashioned hate. Georgia leads the all time series 69-41-5. 116th meeting is coming up. Any thoughts on what's your background and history of this game and your thoughts on this game in itself? Is it a rivalry to you? I mean, that's what everybody even talks about.
It is a rivalry. The thing about it is I can't say I hate this tech. That tech's been bad. But for the rivalry part of it, I kind of hate that it's been, you know, so lopsided. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, you know, it wasn't so. You know what I mean?
Facts.
As you know, the guests we got coming up later can attest. they used to give us some troubles. You know what I mean? So it used to be a real deal rivalry, mm-hmm. and I'm just happy to be a part of it. You know, the Children's Hospital, you know, and we have what we call the Governor's Cup or Governor's Trophy. And you get to get that. All the seniors get their own personal ones that win. You know, I got mine sitting up on my mantle. And I think we won. My senior won like 55-7 or something like that. So it was, you know, that score is plastered on there for the rest of my life. You know, so that was my last experience with Georgia Tech. You know, I had some not so great experiences with Georgia Tech. You know, they beat us a couple times when I was, you know, in college, you know, so the back and forth was cool. Hopefully the next coach that, you know, that ends up at Georgia Tech restores that, you know, competitiveness in the rivalry, you know, so it'll be a, you know, good game. I'm gonna go up to the game this weekend and check it out, you know, and the thing about it is just gonna be for fun though. You know what I mean? Just something to do. You know what I mean? Just something to do. It's not like, you know, it's not like going up for the Tennessee game. It's like, man, we're looking for a great game, you know, hope we win, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's not one of those, like, it's like, it's something to do. You know, it's gonna be, you know, background music. But,
oh, but man.
Hey man, I'm not talking you real. Slick.
You
it's
real?
Just, it's just real. It's just, you know, yeah. It's just real, man. You know, it is what it is.
I'm hoping, you know, the last time, well, not the last time, the first time Kirby played him as a coach, they lost. Obviously, it's been five straight over Georgia Tech, or four straight there, since Kirby's been there. And, you know, when you hear these guys, these current players talk about it, you had Pop talking about it in his press conference, they don't really know the rivalry. You know, basically, especially Pop, I mean, he's from Maryland area, so he didn't grow up in the Atlanta area. He didn't grow up in the Georgia area where he knows this rivalry 116 times, obviously. They don't know that. They don't know a Georgia Tech that can actually jump up and bite you in the butt, you know, those big-time right. games that were back in the day. My only question is about this game. It's going to be a rainy game from what I hear. The weather's going to be a little funky.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of preparing for LSU. You might be looking ahead. You got that Thanksgiving turkey all up on your belly and everything else. I'm hoping this team doesn't overlook Georgia Tech. Not from a standpoint of losing this game, but I just want some nice execution. I want these guys to go out there, play the way that they're supposed to play, dominate, feel good about themselves, and move on to the next week. But is this a hiccup game? Is this a stumbling block to the next game for guys that don't really understand that rivalry?
No, because, you know, just because of, the, you know, because of how the rosters are constructed, you know, Georgia Tech just doesn't have, you know, the horses to compete with a Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're going to play hard. You know, everybody plays hard against the number one team in the country. You know what I mean? Can they muster up enough to, you know, to make it interesting? I don't think so. I think Georgia's just way too good on defense, you know, top three offense. You know, it doesn't bode well for Georgia Tech. But, hey, it's still Tech versus UGA. And, you know, there's a history there. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a good time Saturday.
Well, you know, you mentioned Brent Key. I mean, obviously people, if you don't know, Jeff Collins was let go earlier in the year. You got Brent Key, who's the head coach now. He's doing a bang out job. I mean, he's got these guys playing above the line, so to speak. I mean, they had some pretty bad losses. They had some pretty good wins. They beat a Pittsburgh team. They beat a Duke team. Heck, they beat North Carolina. All those teams were ranked, and they beat all those teams at one point. But they're down to the third quarterback. You know, they got Zach Pyron, who's the quarterback now. I'd love to know how he's doing it. And that's why I'm excited to talk to our guest whenever he does appear here on the 100 Sanford podcast, because I don't know if it's smoke and mirrors. I don't know what they're drinking, but all of a sudden this Georgia Tech team is acting like they're, you know, they're dropping their nuts a little bit and feeling good about themselves in terms of, you know, I'm on scholarship too, coach. And, you know, and it's funny because when you do look at Jeff Collins and what he had going on, he was recruiting. He had some guys coming in, right? He was doing some things right in terms of bringing in the right guys. You know, all of his antics was kind of driving people crazy in terms of some of the things he was doing. They got some players, but I want to see if Brent Key could really, you know, bring the level up against the Georgia and make this a competitive game. Because I think when it comes down to rivalry games, I think it's different for a player, right? You just want to beat people down. But everybody wants to see a good product. Everybody wants to see a good game, a good rivalry game, and see what happens when the thing is tossed in between the lines. But it's going to be very interesting. They got two good running backs, Asan Hall, Dante Smith. They account for about 900 yards rushing. Their leading sack leader is Keon White. Defensive tackle, 7.5 sacks. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Dawgs could do. I think they played pretty well last week of getting after North Carolina. because they had a Heisman candidate at quarterback, and I want to see what Stetson and this offense can do against that defense. It's starting to get a little bit of pressure on them.
Yeah. They like it, like we've talked about, they've played good lately. It's kind of unfortunate for their part that, you know, they got to finish the season with Georgia. And they got to finish the season with Georgia, so they likely won't be bowl eligible. You know, they need one more to be bowl eligible. That would have been, you know, a good way to kick off next season coming off a bowl game. But, like we said, they've been competitive lately. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we want to know about this Georgia Tech team. And we got our special guest getting ready to enter the building. He's in the green room right now. For all the Atlanta folks, for all the Georgia folks, for all the people who really follow college football, we got a legend in the building. I don't care if you're a Georgia fan. I don't care what type of fan you are. This man put up numbers. This man was bona fide superstar back in the day. He still is in my book. We got none other than Joe Hamilton, the College Football Hall of Famer, the analyst for Georgia Tech. Joe, what's going on?
Everything's great, man. How you doing, brother?
Everything is good. You're here with Lamar Lovelace, and you know you got George Foster on here. So we want to talk about all that hate that's going to go on Saturday.
Is it really hate? And I want to say this to everybody, that I got so bought into it, that I'm from South Carolina, and Coach George O'Leary did a great job of telling me it should be hate. But I never really, really hated any of my brothers because, again, Champ Bailey, Richard Seymour, some of those guys, I don't hate those, Eric Zier. I don't hate those guys, and I guess I should have a little bit more hate. But I didn't grow up in, I guess, Georgia, that whether you're going to have to choose one or the other. I just have love, but I do know on Saturday what happens with the clean, old-fashioned hate, what that means, and you have that trophy. That trophy, it means a lot to everybody.
It does. It does. I was just telling Lamar about that, the governor's trophy. Did y'all get the little personal ones your senior?
We certainly did.
Did y'all beat us your senior year, or what?
Well, I don't know when your senior year was, George.
I'm talking about your senior year. So do you have one of the trophies?
I got it. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, so that means you won. Because no, only the seniors got it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you know what? And, you know, not to, you know, hijack you guys' segment or anything, but, you know, when you talk to Stinchcombe and you talk to Coach Kirby Smart, that was one of those things that they don't like. That's one of those things that they can almost look back and say, my career – it was complete, but I don't really like it because Coach Kirby Smart went 3-1, but his last game at home against us was a loss.
Yeah, I remember. I was there. And I think I think they gave it to y'all, man. Hey,
what do you mean gave it to us? What do you mean?
I can't remember. One of those years, it was like some shoddy calls in there. Yes, definitely. That was not a – hey, man, come on, man.
Was it a fumble, Joe? Was it a fumble?
I don't know, man. The refs, we play. That's all I say, man. Cheerleaders cheer, refs ref, coaches coach, and players
that's
play.
True. That's true, man. Yeah, man. We got the clean old fashioned hate coming up this weekend. You know, Georgia Tech versus Georgia. It's no secret. You know, this year Georgia's on top of everything. Tech has been up and down. Up and down, had some really big wins, had some disappointing losses. Where do you see this Tech team going? Obviously, they're probably going to be, you know, coach searching, you know, even if they, you know, consider, you know, the job that Brent's been doing, Brent Key, even if they consider him, they're still going to be searching. What do you feel about Tech and how they're, you know, progressing?
Well, first of all, man, I would like to say that, you know, this game should not be, and it's all on us as far as the Yellow Jackets, this game should not be at 12 o'clock noon. I've never played this game at noon. I've never played it. I don't know about you, Joe, but I've never played it at noon, and it doesn't deserve to be at noon. Anytime you have a rival that's at noon, Mm-hmm. Is that really respectable? And it's not, you know, the Bulldogs' fault. It's our fault, the Yellow Jackets. So, Coach Key, I mean, he's been there. He's in a rivalry game. He knows that. And, you know, just to put it out there, Coach Key went 3-1. Coach Key won 3 straight games against the Georgia Bulldogs. So he knows what it takes. So he knows what it takes. Outside of that, his back is against the wall when you say the Jimmys and Joes. I think Coach Kirby Smart can pick and choose when he what he want to do as far as a game plan against the Yellow Jackets. But I would tell you this. The Yellow Jackets, they turn you over. And lately, if I want to just say lately, the Bulldogs have been turning the ball over. So if you want to have something to, you know, hang your hat on, you know, short fields, can you turn those guys over? Can you force Stetson Bennett in some inopportune, you know, decision-making situation to where you can fight and be in the game? But you're going to have to score, and that's been a problem with the Yellow Jackets thus far as scoring. I don't know how we get to 21 points, though. Man, 17. Really?
Well, you know, that's my question. How is he doing that? Because you had Jeff Collins, obviously, who was let go earlier in the year. Brent Key comes on, and all of a sudden, this team is playing lights out. I mean, really, they are. They're playing above the bar. Last week, they go up there, and they upset North Carolina. North Carolina was up 17-0, and all of a sudden, I look back at the score, and it's 21-17 Georgia Tech. What type of elixir is he using to actually, you know, make this team play above the bar?
You know, I think he's simplifying. I think he's, you know, keeping it very, very simple, not trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel. The game plan is what the game plan is. And even last week with Drake May, you had bulletin board material because I thought the whole entire Tar Heels game plan was to get Drake May to New York, the Heisman. And anytime those defensive guys trying to look at it, are you going to win the Heisman on us? Are you going to try to throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns on us? That's a little bit of a motivation. So all those type things, I think Coach Brent Key has just simplified things. And you remember early on in the season, punt blocks, punt returns, special teams things, all those things. I think he's enabled his coaches just to coach. The antics, the high water, the push-ups on the sideline. I think all those things just got, you know, pushed to the side. And, you know, some of the players were just like, coach me up, coach. Can you coach me? Can you get me to be play at a high level? And that's what I think it was all about. And that's what it's going to take this weekend, guys. And I'm not tripping. I'm not tripping thinking that we have a real legitimate shot, I guess. But I have to be an alumnus. But it's going to take that same type of situation this weekend.
What do you think about the direction that Tech is going? Do you think they take a step backwards, having to let Jeff Collins go, or what does it take for Georgia Tech to get back to where they were? You know, you got they won a national championship in the 90s. You know, they had the teams that you were on. You were Heisman semifinalist, probably should have won that thing. like, really good teams back in the 90s. How do you get back to that respectable place? Like, what does it take? Like, you've been there when Georgia Tech has been pretty good. You know what I mean? So you know what it looks like being in Atlanta, competing against Georgia for players, competing against South Carolina for players, competing against Clemson for players, and so forth and so forth. How do they get back to that point?
Well, first of all, it's got to be realistic. What's the expectation or expectations? Okay, we're not going to have the same expectations as everybody else. And that's why I'm so happy you asked that question, George, because – we're not going to compete year in, year out for a national championship. That's not who we are. What we're going to do, we're going to compete for 8, 9, maybe 10 wins. If you can get to having a senior class that can compete, and then you get to maybe, you know, a bowl game. Not a bowl game, maybe a college playoff. But that's not perennial. That's not always. Hey, Joe, what are you talking about? You don't have your back with your college. That's not the case. That's proof in the pudding. We've won 4 national championships. The last national championship we won was 1990. So we're not around that like you guys, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama. We're not around like that. So to to make sure we are there is just make sure you don't talk about academics that much. We talk about, in my opinion, academics too much. Academics is going to speak for itself. We need to sell the fact that we can come in Atlanta, and we can come in and we in Atlanta and get these some of these athletes just to play ball and have those lifelong lessons, a lifelong, you know, aspirations to compete. We're not there. We're not going to be, George, winning or being competing for championships each and every year.
You know, that's interesting that George brought that up, because I was going to bring that up as well, because you look at the ACC, right? You got Clemson, who's not playing up to par as Clemson was a few years back. You got Pittsburgh that won the ACC last year. You got Miami that's trying to rebuild. You got Florida State trying to rebuild. What can Georgia Tech do as a university? Not just, you know, like you said, preach the academics, but what could they do as a university to build this thing up?
As an institute. No, I'm just saying we, you know, not university institute, but again, what do you mean as far as, you know, build it up again? I mean, I'm trying to really hone in on my brothers and sisters at Tech that's not who we are. We're not going to be there each and every year. We're not going to be there, guys. We're not going to be there. I'm not just talking to you guys on this podcast. I'm talking to my friends, and my friends hate on me for saying that, Joe, what are you talking about? Are you just, you know, low-hanging fruit? Are we not really, really good? No. The proof's in the pudding. Who are we? And what we are is 9, 10, 11-win team every now and then, and you get some guys that you can – all of a sudden not sneak up on anybody. But then as you get seniors, fifth-year seniors or juniors that you've built a program and a coach that's really, really good and can recruit, that's when we're going to be successful. But to be there every single year, not competing for a championship, what we want to do is we want to be in a bowl game every single year.
What you just said was kind of interesting, and it kind of put me back in the mind of college basketball. You know how you have those teams every now and then that have the, you know, the seniors. You know, a lot of the big teams, they don't have seniors like that. They have, you know, they have one and done guys, sophomores that get, they're so good that they can't stay around. Maybe Tech should go the route of getting players that they can develop, and by the time, you know, you have a senior class that can compete with Clemson, Florida State, and them, because nobody's a juggernaut in the ACC right now. It's not far-fetched that a Georgia Tech, who's smack dab in the center of the college recruiting world, Atlanta is the epicenter right now.
Yeah,
Georgia in general is the hotbed for college athletics.
Period.
Maybe back, you know, period. You know what I mean? It probably wasn't always like that, but now it's like, you ask any college coach, it is the hotbed, and you're not going to beat Georgia for, you know, for most of the guys, but it's way more guys in Georgia that Georgia can take on, that Georgia Tech should be able to get some of those guys and bring them up and have a senior class that can compete for an ACC title at least.
Yeah, well, you're spot on. And again, I mean, I would take you back to, you know, even when I was playing, we have never, I can, maybe you have the, you know, statistics in front of you or what have you. We've never been favored in the last, go back to 2000, go back to 1989, whenever. The Yellow Jackets has never been favored, when you're talking about football, to beat the Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. So it's never been favored. So that's the whole thing. As far as building and having a senior class, having somebody that's going to buy in, having somebody that believe in, and that's the way you're going to, you know, you're going to have some luck and some things to happen your way. But the Georgia Bulldogs are always going to be a better football team. Can you sustain? Can you get a coach that wants to be there 6-7 years? Does he want to build a program? Does he want to build student athletes? And when you have a senior leadership like me and Charlie Rogers and some of those guys that want to build it, then you can happenstance beat the Bulldogs every four, five, 6 years. But it's not going to be perennial. It's not going to be year in and year out. Come on now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even going to try to even fake the funk or a nasty dunk on
you. But it – It was competitive years ago, year in, year out.
That's the problem.
It hasn't been competitive lately. It was competitive now.
Oh, man, we believe now. So I definitely, because again, when we talk about Coach Brett Key, he went, he won three straight games. You know, I want him to get the Bulldogs. But again, it goes back to, why is this game at noon? This game is at noon on 2 days after Thanksgiving because the Yellow Jackets have not been pulling their part. They have not been pulling their weight. That's the bottom line. It should be way more competitive. And this is what hurts me the most, guys. You guys don't even think of us as a rivalry. Y'all would go Florida. Y'all would even go Alabama. I think y'all would go some different ways even before you guys think about Tech as far as being a game that you need to get up for and a game
that's now.
And that's now. Yeah, exactly. Exactly now. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that you said it's not a robbery, and most people may not think of it as a robbery, but it's only that, like Georgia said, now because of Kirby Smart, because of what he's built at Georgia. We got coming off the national championship. And it's interesting because you said those super seniors, those guys that can carry a team. Obviously, we got a quarterback in Stetson Bennett. He's no longer the mailman. He is the milkman. We want to give him his props. He done changed it up. He done switched it up. So, Joe, let me ask you this. You're 5'10", 5'11". Yeah. How is Stetson doing what he's doing at 5'10", 5'11", this era? What do you like about Stetson Bennett behind in this Georgia offense from what you've seen?
Well, everything. I love everything about Stetson Bennett. And the most important thing is the fact that when you go on last year, I don't know how you're going to give credit or who you're going to give credit to as far as why the Georgia Bulldogs are national championship champions. But the offseason, Stetson Bennett being able to know it's his team, that's my team, to rally those guys in the offseason to run routes and do all those type things. Coach Todd Monken saying that, Stetson, are we going to give you a little bit more at the line of scrimmage? Are we going to give you a little bit more as far as what you want to do? What do you feel comfortable with? This guy has been through a lot, a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I look at Stetson Bennett. When I look at him, I don't, you know, and guys, we got to, you know, compare what can't Stetson do? That's my whole deal. At 5'10" and all that kind of stuff is a good talking point. What can he do? Yeah, he makes some bad throws here and there. Who doesn't? But when he made a juke move in the end zone like 2 weeks ago, and he did an Iverson crossover, I'm like, my goodness. I mean, hey, Stetson Bennett, he's been wanting me over because I'm a quarterback-friendly guy and I love quarterbacks. I don't understand what he can't do. When you see him come to the line of scrimmage and he reset protections, when he's getting you in good plays, out of bad plays, all those type of things, it's Stetson's team and the leadership. The leadership. And then when you look back at, and I know, George, you'll love this, I love to watch quarterbacks. When a quarterback goes down, how many people are rallying around to pick him up? When he gets tackled, it hits, when he gets whatever, how many is the offensive lineman, the guard, the tackle, the wide receivers, are you picking him up? Everybody's picking him up. That means to me, just to me, that he has the whole entire team at his beck and call.
Yeah, they love him. You can tell, and it's not just offense guys. It's defenders. Defense. They love him too.
Yeah. You had Nolan Smith wearing his jersey the other, what is it, last week or the week before?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So outside of Stetson, you know, obviously this offense continues to move. The defense has been the calling card, so to speak, of Kirby Smart, and even going back to his Alabama days and on the staff at LSU. What else do you see about this Georgia team that can give and should give Georgia Tech issues? But what can Georgia Tech do to kind of stifle this offense on Saturday to maybe, you know, come out of here with a victory?
Well, I don't necessarily think that, you know, it's a letdown what these guys from, you know, up in Athens are going to face. I mean, with the leadership of Stetson Bennett, Nolan Smith, and when you're talking about Jalen Carter and all those guys, even Kentucky, when you watch Kentucky's film, everybody's saying 16-6, what happened to Georgia? Is that a letdown? Yeah, I guess when you don't score points, I mean, or you don't dominate. But how do you have or how do you sustain as an offensive coordinator, as an offensive guy that I think I am, I'm trying to get first downs, touchdowns, and eventually net field goals and trying to move the ball. It's hard. It's so very, very hard. Do you want to go at Kelee Ringo? I think you do, but he can also, you know, flip his hip and turn that into an interception. Do you want to have 3 yards in a cloud of dust? Yes, but you also going to have to try to make that on fourth down. What can you hang your hat on? And I don't think it's anything you can hang your hat on, because when you look at it from the Georgia Tech perspective, we don't have enough Jimmys and Joes. We don't have enough. We don't have enough explosive plays. So now you're going to have to try to find something in the, you know, return game, trick them, exotics, flea flickers, all those type of things. You're going to have to try to gain a first down that way. And when you have that opportunity to make hay, it's got to be a touchdown. But it's tough, man. It's very tough to be able to score, let alone win against those Bulldogs, man. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What it seems like I'm trying to think of who came, you know, after you. You got the guys. You probably have like Godsey. I remember Reggie Ball. I remember. I'm trying to think who else has been there. Haven't had a lot of top tier quarterbacks since you. And you really need that in college football. So, you know, what is it going to take for Tech to get that next Joe Hamilton? You know what I mean? You got to get them, because they're out there. They're out there. You know what I mean? You got guys like Josh Allen coming from Wyoming and things like that. And so, like, how has Georgia Tech been missing on QBs like that?
Man, that's a great question, George, because, again, you had him in Jeff Sims.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you had him in Jeff Sims, and, you know, behind the scenes, I don't know exactly what went on with Jeff Sims, but you're going to have guys like me talking about the experience. And I think you're going to have sustained coaching for those guys to be like, you know, Sean Jones, you know, Joe Hamilton, Reggie Ball, come to Georgia Tech, and this is what can be provided. And even outside of me, that I didn't have that career as far as the NFL. So somebody's going to have to take that torch a little bit more, a little bit further than even me now, because God's going to say, hey, can you get me to the league? Can you enhance my career that way? And I have a very, very good career, and I love it as far as college, and I played briefly in the NFL, but those guys want to say, can you get me to the next level? Can you get me to the league? And I thought that was Jeff Sims, and I don't really know what was going on behind the doors or behind the scenes with Jeff Sims, but that was a perfect scenario, and I hope that doesn't turn into a negative.
So that brings me to another question I had for you about, you know, who do you bring in? Of course, you know, not assuming that, you know, Brent Key is going to be moving on. I can't assume that. But who is there anybody that's in the coaching landscape that you would like to see being a spot as head man over there in Georgia Tech? Or it can be a few guys that you like, that you've seen over the years, you know, that you feel like can build a program up.
Well, I love Coach Chadwell. I love him at Coastal Carolina.
Now. Yeah, Coastal, yeah.
Yes, I love him. And I don't know anything about his background, but I love what he's doing as far as creativity. And, you know, I had some few friends talk about, you want to go back to the option? It's not the option, George, that, you know, we think about, you know, in Paul Johnson. It's creativity. It's being able to design. It's being able to run a power in a different scheme, the counter, the gap schemes, all those type of things, but you have a triple option, but that triple option is you throwing it instead of running it. I mean, you throwing it instead of pitching it, all those type. I really, really like Coach Chadwell right now, and I'm not, you know, afraid of my coach, you know, my old-fashioned, you know, Coach Brent Key, because he is one of those assignment guys. Do you really need, because remember now, I love Sam Pittman, I love Dabo Sweeney, and I love your boy at South Carolina. And what do those guys have in common? Shane Beamer, they've never called a play in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So they are coordinators, but they are CEOs. So do you want a guy that can be a CEO and dictate what's going on and have coordinators to be able to, like, you know, I want you to do this. I want this ran. And I know how that's ran, and then run a program. So I'm a little bit twisted and turned between, do you want a guy that's been a coordinator, or do you want a guy that's a CEO?
Well, you know what, Joe, we got some other fun questions to come to ask you. But first, we need a prediction. We need a prediction of this week up there in Athens. What is your prediction of this game? We put you on the spot on this show. We've had people from Auburn on. We had Tequila Spikes. He had to answer the call. We had Ramon Foster, Tennessee. He had to answer the bell. You got to answer this bell, Joe. What's going to be the prediction of this game?
Oh, man, that's not fair, man. What's your prediction as far as outcome?
Yes, sir. Come on now, Joe.
Okay.
You in the locker room, baby. Tell us what it is.
Dude, this is embarrassing, man. But this is embarrassing. I think we'll score 17 points.
But you ain't going to say what Georgia's going to score.
Hey, George, that's a bad take, isn't it?
Hey, man. Hey, you're in a tough spot. It ain't your fault, though.
Well, I tell you what is your, like, give us one of your fondest memories of this game. You know, George has already talked about some of his, and, you know, obviously you get the cup and that sort of thing. But what is one of your fondest memories of this game, this rivalry game with Georgia?
Well, I have to go to my main man, Quincy Carter. Coming out Southwest DeKalb, being one of the, you know, best players, well, the best quarterback and the best player in the nation, our relationship, and my last game going against him in Bobby Dodd Stadium, being in overtime, and just the competitor he is, outstanding. And to be able to come out in my last game winning on senior day, beating the Bulldogs, was tremendous to me. Champ Bailey, playing against him, tremendous to me. Robert Edwards, tremendous to me. Richard Seymour, all those guys, it was just outstanding. But to win two straight games and not to boast, and now I get a chance to boast because you put me on the spot.
Hey, you won. I can't do nothing about that.
but I was able to leave out there with winning two straight games, one up in Athens and one in Bobby Dodd Stadium. Tremendous to me.
Nice. Well, I know you've been following college football across the board. You know, we had the college football playoffs and all that good stuff. Who are your top teams right now in the nation, if I can ask you that, along with, I think George brought this up last week in terms of the college football playoffs possibly being expanded. Are you in agreement of that?
Agreement of what?
Expanding the playoffs possibly to 8, yeah. Possibly to 12.
Yes, just 8, though. Not 12, just 8, because, again, I want, and I'm a football fan, and I want more college football, but it gets a little watered down when you think about the matchups going to 12. I would rather 8, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. We need to expand it because I want to see more football. But life is going to be made interesting coming up forward. Georgia Bulldogs, no doubt about it, top team in the country. What about the loser of Ohio State and Michigan? Do they deserve not to even be in? What about Clemson? Because they're in the ACC. If they win, they, you know, because you say in the ACC you don't like DJU and you don't like Dabo Sweeney, should they not be in? So that's why I think 18, TCU. What if TCU loses one game? We don't have any respect. Collectively, we don't have any respect for TCU. Why? Big 12? I mean, why do we don't have respect for those guys? You know, USC and the West Coast, why we don't have respect for those guys that's playing at a high level? So I don't necessarily want to go to 12, but I want to go to 8, no doubt about it.
Now, listen to this. 12 wouldn't be bad, though. I saw a scenario, and I mentioned it on the show last week. Mm-hmm. Listen to these 12 teams that I saw on a graphic. Yeah, Georgia, USC, TCU, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, UCF, Tennessee, Penn State, LSU, and Utah. They don't sound watered down to me. I will watch all of that football.
Me too. But George, this question to George, Wouldn't you be throwing Utah in? Wouldn't you be throwing Tennessee in? Wouldn't you be throwing UCF in? And I'm telling you, I feel the exact same way you feel, George, no doubt about it. But wouldn't you be throwing some teams in when you talk about 12? And we want to watch it, but you would be almost like throwing teams in. And that's my only, you know, pushback a little bit. I just want to throw teams in, right? I want to have those teams being qualified. Because what Tennessee put on film this past Saturday defensively,
terrible.
They should be locked up.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Man, I agree with you. With more football, I love the more football, the better. I just don't, and, you know, I think 8 is right at the cusp to where you're just not trying to push guys in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you coming on the 100 Sanford podcast. We, you know, blessing us with your presence. You know, it's a big-time rivalry. It always will be. It's clean, old-fashioned hate. But before you go, we want you to tell the people how they can get more Joe Hamilton, because there will be some Georgia Tech fans that listen to this show. And we want you to, you know, kind of pump yourself up before, you know, the Dawgs come in and handle things against the Ramblin' Wreck.
Thanks a lot, man. You can catch me 6 to 10 every morning, Monday through Friday, 680 The Fan in the locker room. Me, B-Fan, home team Brandon Lee. Also Hudson Mason, a former Georgia quarterback, and also John Michaels. I'm also John Michaels as well, 6 to 10. And it followed me at JoeHam14. I don't tweet that much, and I stay off of social media, especially with, you know, Elon Musk trying to do some different things. But I love ball, and I have no disrespect for the Georgia Bulldogs, none at all. But
it's all love, man.
All clean, old-fashioned hate.
Clean, well, old-fashioned hate. Tune in to Twitter tomorrow, because we got a nice little edit of you to promote the show. So you tune in tomorrow. Tune into your Twitter account.
No doubt. And I just want to say, man, I'm always a big fan of giving guys their props, their flowers, so to speak. Man, glad you came on here. Glad you decided to come on. We don't take it for granted. We glad you got a million other things you could have been doing. We thank you for coming on the show, man. One of the best college football players of all time, regardless of position.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I tell people that all the time. And, man, I hate you had to do it against us. You know what I'm saying? But it was a pleasure watching you play, man. I took a visit to Tech, man. You know what I'm saying? I was in the mix a little bit.
George, let me ask you this right before we go. Gap scheme, power scheme, zone scheme. In your opinion, what you would rather, if you were coaching, you're my offensive coordinator, you're my offensive line coach. Gap scheme, power scheme, zone scheme.
I'm going to be real with you.
Okay.
It depends on what their roster looks like.
If you have
you have a bunch of undersized linemen, bunch of linemen that may not be as talented as the next team or whatever, but they can run a little bit, you know, you might want to be a zone scheme, you know, because it's not predicated on overpowering, you know, your opponent. You know what I mean? It works. You know, that's what I was in Denver. They drafted me because I was big and I could run.
Right.
You know what I mean? But other than that, you know, it everybody else on the line was 290, 280, 270. Shoot, Tom Naylor might have been 260 some days. You know what I mean? You know, and so the zone scheme worked, as long as you can move around. If you got the big bodies like Georgia does, you know, you can gap scheme it. And if they can run, you can put in some zone wrinkles. You know what I mean? But if you got a big overpowering O-line, man, as the gap scheme, power scheme, man, you can get teams up out the paint, man. You see it's happening. You know, you saw what happened with San Fran last night. They ran the boys up out the stadium in Mexico.
Dude, that's why I had to ask you that, man. Dude, I'm telling you, dude, and you know ball. Dude, I follow you on Twitter, and I know exactly, George, that's why I had to ask you that question, because I totally agree.
It's all personnel based, man.
Yes, sir. Can
if
you coach?
If you got a team full of 330-pound linemen, you ain't gonna run no zone scheme, because everybody it ain't five. It's hard to find five humongous dudes, you know, to fire off the ball laterally and, you know, run that. It just don't work. So, yeah. Your scheme needs to play two of my best players in the league,
and I know you got to go. I'll let you go. Two of my best players in the football league right now outside of skill position is Trent Williams and your boy from Philadelphia, Jason Kelce. I mean, Kelce, the ability to do some different things that way and dictate things like that. Offensive lineman, I'm going to tell you, Trent Williams, why are they giving him so much grief now? I don't even understand it.
Nah, they was talking about stance and whatnot. We see how they helped Arizona out last night.
All right, you boys be good, man.
Hey, all right, thanks, Joe. We appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Yes, sir.
Graham Coffee in the house.
What up, brother? How are
you? We are now joined by Graham Coffee, who is in the building. Graham, one of our co-hosts, has just finally arrived. Graham, what you doing? You cooking?
Man, I wish. Dealing with work emergencies. Dog got out this afternoon. You know, just chasing my tail. It's been a crazy day. But
man, you know, I was excited waiting for you all day because, you know, you are the king of snacks. And now with Thanksgiving coming, I was like, man, I can't wait to hear what Graham going to throw down, what he's going to put on the grill, what he's going to do. But, you know, we got to talk some football first before we can get to that, bro.
I mean, I'll just let you know, I got a pecan pie, a Dutch apple pie, and a nice batch of chutney already in the freezer.
I am a Southern black man. I do not know what chutney is. You got to scoop me on that.
Cranberry sauce, man. It's just like it's the cranberry sauce, but the chutney, it's a little thicker, and it's got some apple mixed into it with some cinnamon.
Okay, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love the Southern black man reference.
we don't do the ocean spray in the can.
Oh, that's nasty.
You know, yeah,
you can't.
I'm not a cranberry sauce fan. Really, anyway, but if I have to have it, I'm the canned guy.
See, I used to not be, but what I really like it on is the leftover turkey sandwich with some bread and butter pickles and some cranberry sauce. It'll get you right.
Interesting.
It's a mayonnaise, Duke's mayonnaise, of course.
Now, Duke's is that boy. I like Duke's. I do fool with the Duke's mayo.
So you get a little bit of everything on this podcast: some fashion, some food, culinary, some entertainment, takes. Some culinary takes. Yeah. Hey, man, you just came in at the last moment. I mean, obviously, you had some things going on. We had Joe Hamilton who blessed the podcast. Yeah. Great
All
interview.
Time, one of the more underrated college football players in history, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Was, incredible player.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah, and you had to go up against him. Man.
Oh, yeah, he whooped us.
And, you know, there's a couple fumbles in there that, you know.
Yeah, we talked about it. He didn't want to admit
review.
He said referee, and I said, all right, I get that one. But, they stole a couple of those from us.
Yeah, I was in the stands for both of them, actually.
But he was something else, though, man. He should have won the Heisman.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And which is funny because, you know, I brought it up that what's his thoughts on Stetson? Because Joe was 5'10", 5'11", you know, big offensive lineman. But Joe was doing his thing. A lot of people think of him as a running quarterback. That's not the case. He did everything. He was slinging that rock all around the field, especially his senior year. When we look at this game coming up against Georgia Tech, I know, obviously, Graham, you do your film work. What are your thoughts on this upcoming game in Athens this week? It's 35-point favorite, Georgia is. I think the over-under is 49 points. It's going to be a rainy day. What are your thoughts on this game?
It's a dangerous game, I think. You know, I almost feel like Georgia Tech upsetting UNC like they did last weekend was the best thing that could happen for Georgia in this game. Because it just, you know, I think it gets your attention a little bit better. You know, like Georgia, the last few times these teams have played, I mean, it's been a blowout, and it's been a long time, you know, because you had the COVID year. It's been a long time since these two teams have played in Athens. It's been since 2018, right? It's been 4 years. And you look historically in this rivalry, really since Coach Rick showed up, I mean, if Georgia Tech has success in this game, it's been in Athens. I mean, Georgia hasn't lost a game in Bobby Dodd Stadium since 99, actually. So, I mean, it's been a long time, but they have had a couple good games, you know, in Athens where they, you know, Kirby's first year, they slip up and get you in overtime, and that wasn't expected. The talent level between the two teams is immense, but, like, Georgia Tech, for the first time since Jeff Collins got hired, is playing competent football. Like, they're not doing things to hurt themselves. And I think they're playing really, really well on the line of scrimmage. Like, I think that defensive front, they've given tremendous effort ever since Brent Key took over as interim coach. And if I was them, I would hire him yesterday as permanent coach, because he's taken a roster that won no more than three games for 3 years in a row. And, you know, this game's for bowl eligibility for them. They're 5-6, right? Like, so I think Georgia needs to come out and play well early and kind of, you know, establish dominance. The 35-point spread is sitting there as that reminder of, like, this is, you know, the reality of these two rosters. But it's college football, man. And, like, in college football, there's – I would say a lot of college football games, neither team wins them, but one team loses them, you know, and makes mistakes and kind of costs themselves the game. And Georgia Tech has done a really good job of not beating themselves over the last, you know, half of the season. And that's the first time we can really say that about them in 4 or 5 years. So I think Georgia needs to play a sound football game on Saturday. And I think they need to be ready to roll in the trenches. I'm assuming Jeff Sims is still not playing. Have either of you seen?
He's out. They're down to the third quarterback. Matter of fact, I think it's Gibson. He has the broken collarbone, so they're down to Zach Pyron.
Right. And, I mean, despite that, they put up, what, like 24 on UNC last week?
21.
It was.
Came back 21. With 21 points.
Yeah. And so they found a way to be successful on the ground, but as we know, it's just – That's a tough recipe against Georgia. You know, like the strength of this team right now is its run defense. I think it'll be a similar type of game as to what you just saw against Kentucky, except for you don't have a Will Levis sitting back there that, you know, has the arm talent to make a couple deep throws. So I would expect for Georgia in this game, like, you know, the offense shouldn't have to do too much to score enough points to win, but it's just it's rivalry games. And as cliche as it sounds, like you don't want to get into this game early and give them belief. You know, you don't want an early turnover in your own end or a muffed punt, or like you need to not make mistakes. And Georgia, you know, for the most part this year has been really good about not doing those things, but or you know, even when they do. Like, there's been a lot of games where they're -2, -3 in turnovers and still win by 20-plus points. But I think they need to, you know, not take Georgia Tech lightly. I think that's the biggest thing, is just proper mindset going into this game.
See, I think Joe brought something up. You know, when he brought up that Kirby lost his senior year to Georgia Tech, he lost his – the first time that he went up against Georgia Tech as a rivalry game, he lost that game, right? I think that Kirby at this point and Georgia at this point just doesn't take this game lightly, even though they could. The players could take it lightly. But I believe more in him dialing these guys up, charging these guys up to say, hey, seniors, you don't want this to be the game that you walk out on. First of all, losing to Georgia Tech, losing your opportunity for a national title, losing your chance for a college football playoffs, because I believe if they lost this game, you know, some wild reason – you know, maybe the polls would drop them down even further, you know, and further than fourth or third, they would drop them completely out of the college football playoff talk. So I really don't see these guys coming in not being ready to play. I'm looking for them to go in and kind of dominate this game, especially in the trenches where we have the advantage, the ability to run the football and ability to stop the run. And I think we're going to play clean, quite honestly, better than we did last week against Kentucky, a little bit warmer. You know, but it is going to be a rainy day. Field might be a little bit slippery, but playing it at Athens between the hedges, I just can't see Georgia Tech actually having a chance in this game. Go ahead, George. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I think having the hiccups, you know, especially short yardage situations versus Kentucky, and then combined with, as Graham said, you know, Georgia Tech upsetting North Carolina. Like, I can't see Georgia taking this game, you know, lightly. I see them going in, trying to work on some things heading into the SEC championship. They want to get that short yardage situation, you know, rectified. So it's I'm pretty sure Kirby have them ready to play because honestly, there's a lot to play for. You know, when you're undefeated, you know, it puts you in rarefied air and you want to stay there. So that's the incentive in itself to remain undefeated. You know what I mean? So I see them coming out firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and I mean, it being senior day is something that we shouldn't underrate, right? Because I do, you know, guys like Christopher Smith, and there's some guys on this team who have been around a long time and been, you know, a really important part of this program. And not only do they want to close out their career the right way, but I do think this team has a lot of, you know, love for one another, and the younger guys will want to send these guys out the right way as well on their final appearance in Stanford Stadium.
His final appearance for the mailman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's going to be a loud
stadium. It's been a long time coming, man.
You know, a long
been delivering time. Milk a long time, man. He's been delivering that thing.
Long time. I was almost on my second pro team at Stetson's age.
Right, yeah. No, I saw some stat when the Tennessee game was happening because, you know, Hooker is – I think he turns 25 in January.
I thought Hooker was like 26 or something.
Yeah,
he's an old joke.
Like, their combined age in that game was like 49 years, 10 months between the two quarterbacks. And, like, they were I think, like, there's like half the NFL starting quarterbacks right now are younger than those two guys, or like a third of them. Like, Tua, Burrow, you know, there's a huge list of them. Hurts, like, all those guys are younger than – and Stetson younger than Hooker. So
the COVID year has got colleges, you know, a lot older.
Yeah. Well, and NIL too, you know, I think, like, I mean, not that Stetson would have gone pro after last year, but, like, I think there are a lot of guys who, you know, in past draft cycles, maybe they jump early when they shouldn't have. And now, you know, with NIL opportunities, they get to put six figures in their pocket and, you know, play another year, which I think is a good thing for their development. I think it's a good thing for college football. I think it's good all around. But yeah, I mean, on this game, I think really, especially with the weather, like, we're probably looking at a similar type of game to what we saw last week against Kentucky, right? Like, ground and pound, not too many pass attempts. You know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, George, but sometimes I think – in the rain, if it's not crazy, crazy rain, it can sometimes help a passing attack, because if the field's wet, like, the wide receivers know where they're trying to go and the defensive backs do not. And, you know, maybe there will be some opportunities for Georgia to get some guys open for some plays through the air and, you know, pop off some of those kind of shorter throws that are a big part of the offense. And one or two of those maybe turns into an explosive play.
I think there's a chance for that. I think, especially since, you know, I could see, you know, Kirby wanting to get this thing over with fast, you know, so, you know, maybe pass that thing early, you know, get up, you know, hopefully keep them out of the end zone and then turn it into the ground game, get Branson in the game and those guys like that. And so, yeah, there could be a chance early. You know, if we're up by enough, you know, I could see him tucking that ball for good almost and getting up out of there, because I don't, you know, he's the head coach. His job is to win football games. He's not worried about a spread or anything. So yeah. I don't know if that spread is going to happen because I could see him wanting to close the game out.
That under of 49. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Wink, like, wink, like, listeners. Yeah. Wink, wink.
Like, this seems like a 27-3 kind of game or something.
Yeah.
Is that your prediction? 27-3?
No, I'm not saying that yet.
It's just one of those games, though. Like, it's kind of like last week versus Kentucky. Yeah, we missed out on some opportunities to score, but at the same time, I think he wanted to shorten that game as well, too. So, I wouldn't bank on a ton of points. We're trying to get out of this season healthy and get into the postseason and be full tilt, unless it just happens Saturday, I can't see us aiming for a lot of points other than just, getting what we can get and get up out of there.
Yeah. And I think, the other side of it is, how meticulous Kirby is. I mean, you're just kind of making reference to it right now, but like, he's got to be looking at the fact that LSU has a night game on the road at Texas A&M and loving that, right? Like, let's get this game wrapped up. I mean, like, even with all the CBS commercials, last week's game finished like right over 3 hours from kickoff to end. So
it was so short.
Yeah, I mean, we will probably all have time to watch the fourth quarter of Ohio State and Michigan on Saturday after Georgia Tech wraps up, because it'll probably be a similar deal. Get out healthy. And, speaking of that, though, I would like to see Georgia, not that Georgia Tech's defense is quite what Kentucky's is, but, like, I'd like to see Georgia convert more of their red zone opportunities on Saturday and kind of do a better job of, like, that's what kind of worried me and bothered me the most about the Kentucky game last week, was just continuing to have to put guys like Bullard and Ringo and Lassiter and, all your studs on defense, Carter, back out there when, they really should be on the bench watching backups play at this point. Trying to keep the tread on those guys' tires.
And just for those reasons, not necessarily for the reasons of, the game is in danger of being lost. It's just want to get to the point where you can rest guys as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Because that game was never out of,
it was never in doubt.
What I mean?
No, it was never.
But you do want, and we're fortunate enough to have a top ranked defense as to where the red zone issues are compounded. But like you said, you do want to see them be better in the red zone. I'm just happy we got a great defense, because it kind of gives you some room for error.
Yeah, it gives you that wiggle room to be able to work on things you need to work on, and that's my hope, that they're able to work on the things they need to work on, clean up some things like you just talked about in the trenches, that 1 yard, that 2 yard, that executing in the red zone. Hopefully they clean that up this week. With that being said, though, let's get into these predictions of the game. Well, Joe didn't really give a prediction. Joe just said 17 points of Georgia Tech was going to score. He didn't want to say how many Georgia was going to score. But
they'll score 17.
He says 17. They're playing more consistent. They're playing better underneath Brent Key. They believe in who they are now. They simplify things.
Right. We put them in a tough spot. He's a Tech alum that he's can't.
An analyst, yeah, man.
He can't completely crap on his
No, of course not.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's why we didn't even push him to.
But
give
we put a, everybody a, in a tough a full, spot.
A full, well, yeah, but
what you're saying that the other team had a shot.
Takiyah wasn't gonna say Georgia was going to beat Auburn. I know that. You know what I mean? You know, Ramon in there, you had Tennessee there ranked number one. So, of course, you know, Ramon was going to, you know, he believed, just like the rest of the Vol faithful. And they got, you know, curb stomped. they effed around and found out. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? So we put them in a tough spot. Georgia Tech, you know, in as it stands, they don't have a shot. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, he said 17, we're going to roll with it. You know, they ain't scoring 17 points, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. I'm going to throw mine out there. I'm going to say 30-6.
That's a good one, dude.
30-6.
What do you got, Graham?
I am going to say 38-9.
Man, you took the Georgia score for me.
Did you? Yeah. That's like, I could see them maybe scoring. The thing that I keep going back and forth on is, like, will they get, like, a garbage time touchdown, you know, like, late in the fourth with the backups in and all that, you know. So maybe they
could. They could.
Yeah.
They've had a few garbage time. Like, that doesn't Beck have, you know, a couple touchdowns this year?
Oh, yeah, Beck. I was talking about Georgia Tech getting.
Oh, you're talking about Georgia Tech. Okay.
Like, I'm trying to, like, because I think that's the only way they score a touchdown in this game is not on the starters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, maybe they, you know, maybe they hit the 10-point mark or something. But I'll be surprised if they score, you know, into double digits against Georgia's starting defense. I'll be very, very surprised on Saturday.
I'm going 38-3. I don't think they score on offense outside of a field goal. I just think Georgia dominates this game. I think we see a cleaner game than what we saw last week. And much like what George said, I think they'll mix up the offense early and coast all the way in, allow these guys, especially the seniors, to walk off with hand claps and that sort of thing, and versus having to play, you know, the entire way through, having to make this a tougher game than what it should be. So I'm going 38-3. But a couple of fun questions, fellas, before we end this show. What other rivalry game are you guys watching this weekend outside of Georgia? Georgia Tech, obviously we're going to watch that. But what other big rivalry game on Turkey weekend are you going to watch?
I haven't watched Ohio State or Michigan this year, so I want to see what they look like. You know, they got the kid Corum who's rushing all over the place. I want to see how he's getting it done. I want to see this high-powered Ohio State offense to see if it's, you know, if it is what it is. I want to see if they can play any type of defense. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's going to be interesting. That's one that I'm not saying I'm going to be able to get around to watching. You never know with me, but that's one I'll be interested in watching.
What you got, Grant?
Man, yeah. I mean, I love the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. You know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Get in there with, like, a, you know, leftover turkey sandwich and a piece of pie. Kind of fall in and out of food sleep on the couch. Right.
A little Egg Bowl.
A little Egg Bowl action, you know, especially because, like, is this it for Lane at Ole Miss? You know, how's that going to play out?
That seems like a lateral move, don't it? Doesn't it to you? The potential is there at Auburn, but
Auburn has won, like, a modern national title.
Is it really potential?
Well, I mean, that's my thing, is people – I hear people in the media be like, well, Auburn has won a national title in modern era. Yeah, they did it with Cam, dude. Like,
Cam Newton is like he's a unicorn.
Yeah, he had the greatest college football season ever. He has
a freaking NFL MVP.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was zero other NFL players on that roster, or I'm sorry, on that offense.
Offense,
and he carried that. So, like, you know, unless there's going to be some mutant that pops up from JUCO again, like it's just, it's not a like situation you just replicate. I mean, I think they, you know, I mean, at Ole Miss, he's been consistent top 15 for the last two seasons.
And like, I'm saying, like, what do you get out of moving to Auburn? Like, I feel like you can be, I feel like he can be God in over there in Oxford, and in Auburn, he is like, okay, you better replicate what you had at Ole Miss, and then you better be better because we're Auburn. You know what I mean? So as we, when I say Auburn in quotes, because the expectation is going to be so much higher when I don't know if the expectation should be that much higher.
I mean, I do think it's easier to recruit there. Like Gus signed top 10 classes
You have a point.
But I don't think, you know, you're not talking about like a, I don't know. I think there's a small handful of jobs in college football that the right coach can show up at and start winning national titles in year two or year three. And I don't think Auburn's one of them right now. But maybe, you know, Saban retires and changes that dynamic soon. I mean, the answer to all this is money, right? Like,
right.
Auburn's probably going to stroke him a fat check that will, you know, not that he's not, I mean, this will be his sixth head coaching job already as a,
he's got plenty of money.
He's
making that coin.
And he's successful now, but he failed up to get to this point.
There's no better job than fired SEC football coach.
Oh man,
he's going and fired
NFL. Like
he's been buyouts in college. Crazy man. Like the,
insane.
I mean, like Matt Luke. You know, I mean, he got fired from Ole Miss after 2 years and made $24 million, like Muschamp, close to $50 million when South Carolina fired him. Like, dude, that's,
give me that parting package.
Yes, that's like when LSU fired Orgeron. I saw an interview with him talking about it. And he was like, "You're telling me that all I gotta do is sign on this line right here, and you're gonna pay me $18 million to not coach football?"
Well, sign me up, brother.
Right.
Call that boudin right there.
All right. Speaking of that boudin, man, last question I got for you.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I'll just say other games I'm interested in. George already said Michigan, Ohio State, but NC State, UNC is I'm from that area. It's low key good rivalry. It's top 25 matchup this year. If you're bored on Friday afternoon, turn it on.
Is NC State still top 25? Didn't they lose?
Yeah, they're 24, barely.
24. I mean,
they had a rough go of it since their quarterback got hurt. But, I mean, I love rivalry week, man. Civil War, Oregon State. Weird game. Mm-hmm. Like it. Apple Cup, 10:30 p.m. Saturday night. Washington State. That's a
Was Bedlam last week or this week?
That was last week. Yeah, Bedlam. Oklahoma smoked them. They did. Yeah, but, like, you know, Florida State's on Friday. That's interesting.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Notre Dame USC is a big game, right?
South Carolina Clemson.
Yeah.
West Virginia used to be this week. That would have been a good one. Well, yeah, it is for my wife and my sister-in-law, West Virginia grad. But
the one thing I wanted to say, the one rivalry game that we do not get every year that we get on Friday – USA England World Cup Soccer. I know this is a football podcast, but
football. It is football. FUTBOL.
Football.
Football.
I'm excited for that, man. I mean, you know, US hadn't been in the World Cup in 8 years. England's the soccer country, right? It'd be cool.
World Cup is nice, man. Yeah. I don't know why people don't get into it. It's an awesome thing.
People hate it, but it's fun.
The youngsters. You know, we might not do it this year, but I feel like I'm not a soccer fanatic, but you know, I know people that are, and they seem to be really excited about these youngsters that the USA has right now. But it may be in after the next 4 years where it really comes to fruition. So
yeah, you'll see. The second youngest team in the whole thing.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, my frat brother's at those games now. He's over in Qatar. I told you guys in the chat.
Yeah,
man, he sends all these pictures and he's over there balling. But yeah, he's at all those games. But last question: stuffing or dressing?
It's dressing.
What is it?
I'm country. I'm from the South. It's dressing. First of all, they're two different things. I don't think people understand.
Explain to the listener, George, because I know what you're going to say. Go ahead, explain that.
Dressing is you got to bake you up some cornbread first. However you do your cornbread, you got to crumble it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Your celery in there, what else you put in there? Some people put a little turkey in it. Some people put a little, you know, some people make seafood dressing.
Mm-hmm. That's what
but it's made with cornbread that you already baked. You know what I mean? Then you can make the dressing heavy, whatever you want to put in your dressing. Stuffing is some BS. So, you know what I mean?
So
we ain't stuffing no turkeys around here. You know what I'm saying? We ain't doing none of that because we got dressing. We don't need no stuffing. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Fair enough.
Man, I get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, also, it's like, didn't they come out like a while back and say, like, putting the actual stuffing in the bird is a good way to get salmonella and stuff. So.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
We don't do that.
We don't do that around my wife. that's nice to know.
Yeah, it's a good way to have a pink turkey. Seafood dressing, that's where it's at, man. The shrimp and the sausage and. You can put oysters in there.
In there. I've heard of.
Man, you always come on here with some, you know, making me my mouth water and all that. I didn't even eat yet today. That's crazy. But I can't wait
to it.
All right, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving to you boys and all the listeners, man. You know, I'm thankful for the show. Thankful for friendship. Thankful for this, you know, my family and everything else. And thankful for the dogs being 11-0, soon to be 12-0.
Yes, thankful. Sir.
With one of the Sanford podcasts. With that being said, let's get up out of here. As usual, go dogs. See you at one of the
Sanford. Go dogs. See y'all. If y'all see me there Saturday, holler at your boy. I'll be around there.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.